The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to spiritmotorgroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
Now, restrictions to be eased at a faster pace, that was the call at the end of last week. But now, is that unlikely given the lack of social distancing that we saw over the weekend? On the line now is Stephen Donnelly, the Fianna Fáil spokesman on finance. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Spokesperson on health. Finance
a while ago. I was just thinking, who knows what you'll be in a few weeks' time about the push to speed up the opening up of the economy. What is your take on what we've seen in terms of flattening the curve, the lack of, I suppose, spread within the community? Is that encouraging you?
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting comparing what we just heard, the horror that's going on in the US, a country I've lived in and studied in and dearly love. And it breaks my heart to see what's happening over there. It is interesting to compare the divisions in their society and all of the issues they're dealing with compared to the extraordinary solidarity we've seen here. It's been nothing short of amazing. You know, every business, every school, every teacher, every family, every community working together. You know, we've had a lot of cases and there were some very serious mistakes made, you know, around nursing homes and other areas. But ultimately, we started off with very few ICU beds, a hospital system in complete crisis, a hospital system we arguably fought an election over because it had become so weakened and depleted and everybody was terrified that we were going to see those awful scenes that we saw in the car parks and Italian hospitals and other hospitals where critically ill men and women were being treated on beds in car parks. And thanks to the work of our amazing clinicians and management within the HSE, thanks to everybody doing their bit, it never happened here. It never happened here. The fatality rate stayed reasonably low, high compared to some countries, but reasonably low compared to a lot of European countries. And so we have responded well, and I think we have by and large been steered well by the public health officials led by the chief medical officer. And what they're saying right now, they're coming under a lot of pressure, and some of it is very reasonable pressure. Schools and indeed people running hospitals and people running businesses are saying, look, surely we can move from 2 meters to 1 meter. You know, I can reopen my business. We can, you know, reopen our school. We can do all of these things if we move from 2 meters to 1 meter. Some people have questioned the science behind saying no more than 5 kilometers, no more than 20 kilometers. Really, they're not scientific calls. They're judgment calls. Now, they are expert judgment calls. And so my sense, Pat, is the country has responded incredibly well. We've seen this fall now to, in Wicklow, for example, I think there have been no new cases in the last 6 days. And in some counties, it's up to much higher than that. We've responded well. We've worked well together. Some of the calls need to be looked at, like moving from 2 meters to 1 meter. The WHO and the European Centre for Disease Control have their guidance. It isn't 2 meters. It's greater than a meter. And yeah, our health officials took a judgment call right at the start, which I think was the right one, to say, look, it's 2 meters. It's 2 meters because a sneeze travels for 2 meters. And also just based on human psychology, if you tell us all 2 meters, we're definitely going to stay a meter apart, right? So I think broadly things have been working. There are some aspects, particularly those relevant to some running of public services and businesses, that we do need to review. Now, what is happening today is the HSE are coming into us in committee, and essentially the message from the HSE is going to be that our hospital system, our healthcare system, is so fragile as it was before COVID arrived, that it has very little capacity if there is another surge. And the reality is the number of new cases, now that people are out and about again, the number of new cases has gone up for the last 3 days in a row. It's gone up by a very small amount. But essentially, the public health officials and the HSE are saying we can never have those scenes where men and women are being treated in hospital car parks. Our hospital system is incredibly fragile. Yeah. So let's be cautious.
Okay, but people will say, look, the hospital system hasn't changed in the last 10 weeks. We're using the same system that we used 10 weeks ago, and we did manage, okay, we created new ICU beds, but the ones that were created at the time, the capacity was never actually reached. We never got to the point. In some hospitals, I think people had to be moved around to other places, but our overall capacity was never filled. So people will say, it wasn't that bad then, it'll be okay now if we get another bump in the road.
That's right. And you can see why people are saying that. But we need to be careful. You know, we don't want to deploy a logic that says, look, we dodged a bullet, so let's take a chance and we can probably dodge that bullet again. That's all well and good until actually you end up using those military tents that got set up in the car parks to treat people if the ICU got filled up. So we have to be very careful about doing that. We also have to be very careful about the non-COVID impact on our hospitals, because our healthcare system now, Pat, is facing a perfect storm. It was already a healthcare system in crisis, remember. There's now huge new spending commitments, well over €1 billion for PPE and testing and so forth. There's new care needs for patients with COVID. There's less public money available, obviously. We're going to borrow $30 billion rather than have a surplus this year. And probably the most worrying is the capacity to treat patients is a fraction of what it was. So we've lost about 20% of our hospital beds. One in five hospital beds now has to stay empty for infection control reasons. The consultants are saying that the number of patients they can see in a given amount of time in an operating theatre or for a diagnostic check is down by up to a half. And so, yes, we dodged the bullet the first time, but we dodged the bullet by essentially closing down our entire hospital system. And that itself comes with a massive level of pain and suffering and deaths, unfortunately, because as you know, you've been reporting this, you've been covering this for a long time, the closing down of the private system, the closing down of most of the public system, the impact on people's health, the additional waiting lists, the cancers that are going undiagnosed, the urgent surgeries that aren't happening, comes at a massive cost. So if there is a new surge, and let's say we manage to keep it below this level of, say, 250 people in critical care, there's an almost invisible, not invisible to those involved, but it's not getting the headlines. It's not what's been covered on, you know, at the briefings with the chief medical officer. But there's a vast number of patients who won't get treated and who ultimately will have very serious consequences. So the implications of this, the implications if we do have a spike and where we don't have the capacity to deal with it, are very, very serious.
Now, the question of going forward, I mean, you are someone who admitted on this programme that the job you really, really want is not finance, but in fact health. You'd like to take over from Simon Harris. But what the professionals are telling us is that our system and our hospitals are not fit for purpose. We need new hospitals. The last public hospital that we built was probably Beaumont. We had, you know, the voluntary hospitals extensions in St. Vincent's Hospital and St. James Hospital and so on. But the last major public hospital standalone that we built was probably Beaumont. We've seen private hospitals built since then, notably by Jimmy Sheehan. Then we look at the current public hospital that's being built, the paediatric hospital, and you as minister say, looking for money to build another public hospital, you could whistle for it based on that experience.
We certainly have to do things differently, don't we? Certainly it would be ridiculous to go into the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform and ask for public money to repeat that sort of approach. I think, Pat, the world has changed in healthcare. And whereas back at the start of the year, back in January and late last year, the name of the game was Sláintecare. Now it still is, because that is universal healthcare. That is, it doesn't matter how rich or poor you are. It doesn't matter where you live in the country. It doesn't matter, you know, what's going on in your life. If you're sick, or your little boy or girl is sick, or your mummy or dad are sick, they can get really good quality care when they need it. And that is not the reality for an awful lot of people in this country right now. So universal healthcare must remain the focus. We have additional challenges, as I laid out, with COVID. I mean, remember, the under Sláintecare, in the public system, there's about 10,000 beds. And under Sláintecare, the plan was to add 2,600. So to go from 10,000 to 12,600. Because of COVID, we've actually lost 2,000 beds. So instead of going from 10 to 12.5, we've just gone from 10 to 8. Now, you can imagine the impact that that is having. If you can treat half the number of patients in any given operating theatre list, you know, 4-hour or 8-hour session, it's like losing half your operating theatres in terms of the number of people you can treat. So
what's to be done?
In my mind, I think there's three things we have to do. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to supercharge the National Treatment Purchase Fund for public patients. It's not how you want to be running things, because essentially it says, look, we're going to use the private sector, we're going to buy in the access for public patients. The long-term strategy is have a public system that can cope. But with the depletion in resources now with COVID, we need to supercharge the NTPF. We need to form a longer-term strategic partnership and say, look, we have literally hundreds of thousands of sick men, women and children who can't get MRIs, can't get x-rays, can't get operations, can't just get to see a doctor. We need to get them treated. First and foremost, they need to be treated. So you supercharge the NTPF. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to get more out of the assets we have. So, you know, don't run your MRI machine from 10 till 6. Run it from 6 in the morning till midnight and run it on Saturdays and Sundays. And your operating
more
theaters.
People.
Yeah,
the machines are expensive, and they should be, like a Boeing 737, should be in the air for more of the working day. But that means you need people in. You've got to deal with unions who'll be saying, we're not working until 12 midnight. We normally finish at 5. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think what part of what has to happen, Pat, is all of the different people within the healthcare system, they all may have their own interests, but ultimately everyone working in healthcare cares about the patient. We need everyone to come together now and say, we are facing a level of challenge in healthcare unlike anything we have ever seen. And we either figure out how to do things differently and figure out how to work smarter and bring in, you know, telemedicine and run the MRIs longer and run the operating theatres longer and help staff do as much as they can. We either come together and figure that out, or our healthcare system is going to be completely overwhelmed. Okay. That's where we're at right now.
And so the third thing then is what? After sweating the asset as much as you can.
Sláintecare. Yeah. So number one, supercharge the NTPF to deal with the lists now. Number two, work smarter with what we have. And there's lots of different ways we can do that. And number three is accelerate Sláintecare. So accelerate things like telemedicine. Get a new strategy in place for home care. You know, there's lots of smart things we can do. There's primary care centres around the country which have been built, which is great, but they're not being used as well as they could be. GPs can be doing more, pharmacists can be doing more, and the Fair Deal scheme should apply not just to nursing homes but to keeping people in their houses. One of the things we've learnt from COVID is it turns out you can do remote care. It turns out not everyone needs to come into the GP, not everyone needs to go into the emergency department. The doctors can do a lot with video conference and remote sensors. There's been over 30,000 telemedicine consultations where people normally would have gone in to see a consultant. So if there is a silver lining to be had in the awfulness that has been COVID, it has actually forced us to say, hey, you know, we are capable of working in smarter ways. So supercharge the NTPF, work with all the groups within the healthcare system to say, how can we do things better, and supercharge Sláintecare to an extent. And, you know, when we talk about things like the Children's Hospital, obviously we've got to do those things in another way. We cannot have a repeat of that where we end up, I think per bed, the Irish people will be paying more than twice as much as the most expensive hospital ever built. Like that, these things simply can never happen again.
Stephen Donnelly, Fianna Fáil spokesperson on health. Thank you very much. For